Okay, so this is Ajay. I am a professor of planning at Queen's University School of Urban and Regional Planning in Ontario, Canada. And I'm here with eight of my students. They are all Master of Planning students, a terrific bunch, hard workers. I'm happy to be here with them. I was invited by Lalit from Auroville Integral Sustainability Institute to help Auroville develop a set of assessment criteria to measure the performance of any existing or future development in Auroville on sustainable development criteria. And this is my second visit here. I was also here last year with another group of students, and we helped design design considerations for a portion of the Crown. So we've been here now 2 weeks. We started working on this project 12 weeks before we started for Auroville. And the team worked on a whole bunch of case studies, background analysis, to try and understand how sustainable development performance indicators or systems work around the globe. So the students did analyze two main criteria or main systems, one from North America and another from Europe. They also did Indian versions of the same, and they did a few case studies to help understand the whole system really clearly. Now, since coming here, they've been involved in multiple interviews. I think we've done 14 or 15 so far, in-depth interviews with resource persons at Auroville, including people such as Suhasini, Ribu, Manu, Bindu, and a whole lot others. I don't remember all the names off my tip. And they've produced really interesting work, and they've applied the system that they've developed to the building we are sitting in right here and the building surrounding this, what we loosely term as the town hall complex. And we will present all of this at a public presentation to be held at
Multimedia
Center on Wednesday starting at 4 p.m. I think I've taken a lot of time talking myself, so I would like to pass it on to my students and they can explain what they've done, accomplished, learned, what their experience has been here.
I would like to have a little question about the previous year experience.
Sure.
So, this Crown Road,
mm-hmm.
how it come out your research?
Right, so the Crown Road is very important in terms of how the master plan of Auroville goes, because it is where most of the institutional buildings are located. There's also some residential building. So we saw this as a space not just for movement, not just for mobility, but as a social space, where a whole bunch of activities such as interacting with each other, watching life go by, connecting with in between buildings, spaces where kids could play if they wanted to, elders could just sit back, relax, and enjoy the view if they wanted to, so on and so forth. And we also saw this as an opportunity to achieve the goals of Auroville, along with Auroville Charter. And so we brought all that together in a short document which termed as Design Considerations, which is available with Lalit in both hard copy and a soft copy. And the experience was fantastic. So we learned a lot. So students and I, we all learned a lot about this fantastic experiment that's Auroville. And in return, we were able to contribute something towards progress and development of Auroville in the future.
Thank you very much. So this year, what's going on?
Well, I'm Michael. I'm the project manager of this group this year, and so maybe I'll talk a little bit about the process that we have started with and where we're going and where we came from. So initially, we are looking at a more traditional checklist, so a list of indicators to assess sustainability within Auroville, and we sort of had yes or no, and it was very sort of structured, because that was the examples that we had looked at. So Ajay was earlier saying some indicator systems from North America and Europe. So in North America, we looked at LEED and LEED Neighborhood Development, which is created by the U.S. Green Building Council. And for Europe, we looked at BREEAM and BREEAM communities, which is sort of their equivalent. And those particular systems are very structured in that there's a list of indicators or criteria that builders or developers need to follow. So when they're building a building, they'll sort of pick and choose which sustainability practices they want to include. So solar panels on the roof, low flush toilets, solar generation, electrical generation. But it's sort of, you know, checking off a list. And so that's sort of where we started from. So we looked at both LEED and BREEAM and a couple other cases from Canada, particularly the city that we live in, which is Kingston, and also a smaller city in British Columbia, which is Canada's most western province. And so we sort of compiled this list of indicators into this checklist. And so we came here and we thought that, not that we had struck gold, but, you know, we were off to a good start. And so on our first day in Oroville, a little jet-lagged, but happy to be here, we met with a number of resource persons and our contact here, Lilith, and we sort of presented what we had been working on and where the project was going so far. And got some very positive, though constructive, slightly critical feedback, which was good, because we realized the system that we had developed and the systems that we had looked at, LEED and BREEAM, weren't very applicable to Oroville, that Oroville is such a unique community and such a structured list wasn't nuanced enough to sort of suit the needs of Oroville. So from there, we kind of hit the ground running and we started talking to as many people as we possibly could. So as Ajay was saying, 14 or 15 structured interviews. We visited a number of places just to get a sense of the community and a sense of the people and what sustainability really means to Orovillians. So a number of architects, people who their area of focus is renewable energy, people on the social planning side of things, so social development. So we started to sort of ply ourselves around Oroville, getting a sense of where we needed to get this project. And at this feedback session on our first day here, somebody had said, and I believe it was Sue Hosseny, had said that this woman, Helen, had come here a couple months ago, and she had done work on re-looking at Oroville's building application process and held these interactive workshops, and that we should look at her material. So when we were sitting around as a group, the eight of us, trying to figure out where we wanted to take our project and our system, one of the group members sort of piped up, and she had, you know, read all the work that Helen had done and said that this works for us. So the structure that Helen had created, we were able to sort of adapt and use for our own system for Oroville. So that's kind of where we're going now. I don't know, Bailey, do you want to maybe expand a little bit on the process and what our system's like right now?
Yeah. So we started with LEED and BREEAM, which was, like Michael said, we thought we had done really well, but really it didn't work for a lot of different reasons, particularly the fact that it stifles innovation and the fact that it's incredibly expensive. So we moved on from that, and we used our interviews to inform our new indicator system. So we kind of had a pretty heavy brainstorming session because we couldn't really decide on a scope or sort of a level. Some of us were thinking at the macro level, some of us were thinking at the micro level. One of the feedback points we got in our initial panel consultation with the resource persons was that we weren't specific enough. So we kind of took that to mean a lot of different things. We had a heavy, heavy brainstorming session, and then that's when our colleague piped up and said, listen, we have this structure. And if she's listening to this interview, Rebecca, we listened, we read it, thank you. And it was a really good structure. It's sort of a top-down kind of approach to looking at sustainable development, and we used the information that we collected from our interviews to sort of decide on these assessment criteria and objectives that we've used to inform our system. So people talked a lot about housing, so we included housing as one of our items, and we also have physical waste management. We met with Rebu, who is with Waste Less. We talked a lot about human resource management, we also hit on integration as a concept in Oroville and how that works. And so we tried to create an encompassing system that works for all development within Oroville and not just with any particular type of development or any kind of time frame. We're hoping that we can create a system that's adaptable enough to be used by Orovillians to sort of assess where they are. And the point of the system is not to say, here's where you are. On a scale of 1 to 10, you're an 8.5. The point is, we're trying to create this assessment tool, and we will assess this town hall complex, and we'll say, here's where you are. It's for you to judge what that means.
Right. Like, it's more about creating a dialogue and a conversation about sustainability in Oroville. So we're not here to say, you know, you get an A+ or you get an F. It's not so much about that, but it's
to create an opportunity for Orovillians to assess themselves, I guess, is...
Or start a conversation.
Yeah.
Maybe to expand a little bit on the system. So when Bailey said top-down, so it's more level. So everything comes back to the vision. And so the vision of Oroville is unity. And that's referenced in the master plan and also with all the conversations that we've had with everyone. So
and in particular, the charter.
Right.
Oroville's charter.
So at the very top, you have the vision. So everything feeds back into that. And so you take one step down, and so we have these six objectives that Bailey was talking about. And so these were sort of the biggies, the big areas of concerns that everyone seemed to be talking about. So as Bailey was saying, human resource management is one. Physical resource management is another. Physical accessibility is a third.
Sustainable design.
And connectivity.
Connectivity is another, yeah.
I think that's all of them. Come to the presentation on Wednesday and then you'll get the full picture.
We have six.
So within those six objectives, you go one step below and the actual indicators. So some of them may be yes, no questions. Some of them can't even be quantified. And it's all about sort of, you know, taking a step back and looking at the particular project. And so, it's sort of come full circle because we came here with a very sort of yes-no checklist and realized that what we need to do is sort of create a nuanced, mixed-method approach based on all the conversations that we've had. Because we sort of realized that sustainability in Oroville, you know, is not fully scientific. It's also about the human connection, and it really is an experience, and it's a different experience for everyone. And, you know, what we're trying to do is really bridge guiding documents and planning with people because, you know, with planning and urban planning and community planning, it's so important to involve the public and to have community participation.
Yeah, absolutely. We know we have this kind of distance between the planning and the people that are residing that it creates a lot of friction. And as you say, it's very much based on the human relation that
absolutely.
The next steps has to be developed somehow. And talking about the experience that you got staying in Oroville the first days, and how can you describe this to people that are
well,
in
first,
Canada?
Right. First off, I just want to say that so where we're coming from is -25, I think, today. In my hometown of Winnipeg in central Canada, it was like -40 the other day. So the weather's been very good.
We have 65 degrees.
Difference, yeah. No, so we've been going around and saying how hot it is, and everyone's been saying, no, it's actually cold for Oroville.
It's winter time.
So we're, you know, in t-shirts and shorts and sweating, and people in Pond even wearing toques and earmuffs and stuff. So, no, it's been a wonderful experience. Oroville is so unlike anything that I've ever experienced before. I'm sure you can probably say the same as well, Bailey.
I would absolutely agree with that. And one of the things I've really noticed is that people in Oroville, we realized, all have different ideas of Oroville and what it means to them. But everybody is so passionate about Oroville. And that's, I think, one of the most unifying concepts here is everybody wants Oroville to be great and to be a wonderful place and to be a unifying place to come and be. And it really shows when we talk to them, they're so welcoming and they're so inviting and they want to talk to us and they are passionate about the things that they do. And it's really inspiring to meet people who are so encouraged all the time. And we even met people who were necessarily always super thrilled, and sometimes they were experiencing frustration, but they were still passionate, and they still were very satisfied with the work that they were doing. And that was really an inspiring thing for us.
Yeah, it's been a real learning experience and opportunity as well. So what we're doing here is essentially a course for our program, our master's program. And so it was volunteer, and so we have peers back in Canada are doing projects on a varying number of planning issues, but they've stayed within their sort of home province. And we really came here because we had heard so much about Oroville from our peers who were working here last year, and we really wanted to have the experience of working in Oroville and working with people from all around the world in a completely different context that is Canada. And it's been a real delight. Like, even the other day on Friday, we had lunch at the Future School and got an opportunity to talk to the students and sort of explain the project that we were working on, which was a really great opportunity as well, to sort of connect with some students. And there's lots of similarities between, you know, life in Oroville and life in Canada, but there's a lot of differences as well, so.
Yeah, it was, that was a particularly interesting experience because it was very reminiscent of my own high school days, even though I went to high school thousands of miles away. But at the same time, it was also a very different experience because the high school here is so different and the concept of education here is so different and the way that it's approached is so different from in Canada, where it's get your high school diploma, go to university, and then get one career and then focus on that. But in Oroville, we've found that it's really about lifelong learning. It's about going to school and being passionate about what you're doing. We met with a girl who had just started, who just found gender studies, and she's very passionate about that. And she's being encouraged by the faculty and the staff to go after that and learn about that. And they have all different kinds of speakers that come in all the time. And I thought, what a great system. You know, you're encouraging learning and not learning for a test, which is what we do in Canada, which is not always the best approach.
Right.
I have a question. Just try to conclude this interview. What would you like to bring back to Canada from Oroville as an experience, as a human experience, not on the practical side that you are giving mm-hmm. a lot of skills and making a way to try to find our way to understand how much we are sustainable. On the human level, what do you wish to bring back since we are almost in Christmas, wishing time?
Well, we'll be here for Christmas, but... I guess the thing that I've really taken the most out of Oroville is that as long as you are passionate, you can all work towards the same goals, even if you have different ideas of how to get there. If you're passionate, you can make it work with the other people around you. And that's certainly something that I've noticed.
What I would take away from it, just from talking to all the different people we've talked to, that not to fixate so much on the end project or the end deliverables, but to sort of really focus on the process and the journey getting to that end goals, because that's more important and you get more out of that. In North America, and some of the work that we do in planning, it's so focused on end deliverables. You know, we need to produce A, B, and C, but we sort of ignore how we get there. And so just how everything works in Oroville in terms of community brainstorming. And like the other day I had an interview, or I was meeting with Marie at the Matremondier Gardens, and she was talking about how the community's been so involved in designing those gardens. And that would never ever happen in Canada. It would just, you know, a landscape architect would go in and say, this is what I think, and it would be built. But the community has been so involved in that particular process. And it, you know, yes, the end goal is important and you want to look at the master plan and what the mother had said, but, you know, even more important is the process getting there. So I think, you know, I'm going to go back to Canada and treat work in a different way. And, you know, hopefully that'll influence my career as a planner as well. So,
thank you very much, Michael. And Professor, you want to close it?
Right. So this is my third visit in 2.5 years. The first was when I came just to check it out and connect with Lalit. Then I brought my first group of students last year. And I would like to keep doing this year after year because, A, I learn a lot. I learn every time I'm here, I learn new things, different things, which enrich me as a person, as an intellectual. Also, for my students and my prospective and future students, it would be always a unique learning experience, things that they would never, ever be able to do in Canada. And I was just asking these guys last night after dinner, because, you know, you've spent so much time. This is actually more than what they would have done in a single course, any other course that our program teaches. They put in twice as much work. They've spent so much money traveling here and whatever, and they're missing Christmas just because they have to be in this class this year away from families. And they didn't bat an eyelid and said, yes, we will do it again. If there's an opportunity, we would totally do it again. So that's very encouraging. So I'm happy to be here now, and I'm sure I'll be happy to be here next year, the year after, or any time in the future. And yeah, so to conclude, I would really like to invite all Orwellians, if your schedule permits, please do come on Wednesday afternoon, 4 p.m. at MMC, Multimedia Center,
in
Town Hall Complex for our final presentation, and we'll be happy to share whatever we've done so far with everyone.
Thank you very much, and let's see if we will be able to see each other again next year.
Yes, thanks, Andre.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You.